May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn 620, 620. Sin has a thousand pleasing charms, which flatter to preserve from harms. She richly gilds her pleasing baits, and calls her trash delicious sweets. Hymn 620.
Thank you. Let us turn to the Word of God and read together this morning from the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 8. In the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 8. Let us hear the Word of God. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honour my Father, and ye do dishonour me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him. But I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, passing through the midst of them, and so passed by. May the Lord bless to us that reading from his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Let us all pray. Great and almighty Lord God, thou who art holy, 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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we come now to worship thee. And we do pray for that worship that is in spirit and in truth, that our hearts might be lifted up unto thee in praise and in thanksgiving, that our souls might be warmed and moved by thy word, that our affection might be set upon things above, and that we might love thee. Lord, we do pray for that love that we have read of. As thou didst say to those Pharisees, if God were your Father, ye would love me. We do pray, O Lord, for that love which flows from thy love, that we might love thee because thou hast first loved us. We would come, O Lord, to worship thee for thy glory and thy greatness. We would come and acknowledge thee as that one who is high and holy and lifted up above all things, that one who has made us, in whom we live and move and have our being, that one who sees all and knows all and has planned all, that one who has brought us in our individual pathways to this moment, to this place, to this chapel, on this day. And as thou hast brought us together, we do pray that it might not be in vain, that our gathering together might not be to no purpose, but that we might enjoy that sweet hour of fellowship with thee. Lord, we have read of the greatness of that work, of that one who has been lifted up, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not of himself, but was sent into this world to die a death that he did not deserve, to take upon himself the sins of others, and to offer up himself as a sacrifice. And Lord, we do pray that we might be conscious of the greatness of these truths, that we might not be so familiar with thy gospel that it passes us by without having any effect upon us. But we do pray that as we come again to that great salvation, as we come again to consider the great truths of thy word and the unspeakable gift of thy Son, we do pray that our hearts might be lifted up, that we might find ourselves lost in wonder, love, and praise. So we would come, Lord, and adore thee. Come, we pray, and be enthroned among us as our King and as our Saviour, and grant that on this day there might be joy in heaven over sinners in this chapel who repent, who turn and call upon thy name, and who know thee forgiveness of their sins. Lord, we thank thee that we come together not hopelessly, that though we come as sinners, and though we have to confess many sins, even as we look back over this past week, we have fallen short of thy glory, failed to measure up to the standard of thy word, failed even in the keeping of that first and greatest commandment, to love thee, the Lord our God, with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And yet thou knowest how quickly and how often we have been turned aside, how we have so often found ourselves engrossed in the things of this world. We are unworthy of the least of thy blessings today. But we come, O Lord, not because we are worthy, but we would come in that name which is above every name, in the name of Jesus, that one who is worthy of all blessing, of all glory, of all praise and honour and thanksgiving. So we do pray for that gathering together in his name, that we might be assured of thy presence. For thou hast said that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be there in the midst. We come with thanksgiving then for the great hope that is set before us in thy word, for the many promises of thy word, even to sinners, even to those who are unworthy, for the many gracious gospel invitations to those far off from thee, to those labouring and heavy laden, to those hungering and thirsting. We thank thee that we have those great and promises, great and precious promises, on which we can rest as we come to thee in prayer. Help us to plead those promises. And for those who gather here this morning, labouring, heavy laden, those who are seeking and hoping to find that place of refuge and that place of deliverance. Those who come here with that desire of the hymn writer, give me Christ or else I die. Lord, do not send them empty away, we pray, but do fulfill thy gracious promise to them. Hast thou not said that those that seek shall find? Hast thou not promised that to those that ask it shall be given, and to those that knock it shall be opened? Do these things then, we pray, according to thy gracious promise. Thou knowest how we each come. Thou knowest those who come here with that especial need, and thou art able to meet that need through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thou knowest also those who come here unwillingly, those who come here carelessly, those who come here only because they are brought here or because they are expected to be here. And Lord, we tremble for those who come in that way, for those who come almost as it were to the very door of heaven and yet remain upon the threshold. Those who have Christ Jesus evidently set forth, crucified before them. Those who have thy word in their hands, perhaps even in their memories, and yet love thee not and follow thee not. Lord, we do pray for them. Oh, that today might be the day when their blind eyes are opened, when their deaf ears are unstopped, when their hard hearts are softened, and when thy gospel might come to them not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So we do pray that however we come, we might be met, that we might be blessed with that we need, and that we might not be sent away empty. We do pray for thy blessing to rest upon this church and upon this congregation. We give thanks that thou hast maintained them, that the doors still are open, that the word of God here is still amongst them, and that thy gospel is still preached in this place. But we do pray that there might be those signs following the preaching of thy word, that there might be that moving of thy spirit in their midst. We thank thee for the gift of thy spirit, for the descent of thy spirit into thy church on the day of Pentecost. We thank thee for that gracious promise, for thou hast said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we thank thee for that spirit that is not here today and gone tomorrow. We do pray, though, that as thy spirit has been given, thy spirit might work. So we pray for thy blessing to rest upon each member of the church. We ask that thou wilt unite them together in the true bond of Christian unity and fellowship, that there might be a going forward together under thy hand and in thy will. Do help them in all their discussions and decisions concerning the future of the work here. Help the deacons, grant them all needed wisdom as they lead and guide the people. And do bring in others into thy church. Thou knowest those who are here, who have known that work of thy spirit, who have been brought from death unto life, who have been brought to that place where they are able to say, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. And we do pray for any who tremble upon the threshold of church membership, those who long to enter in and to pass through the waters of baptism and to enjoy all the benefits and the fellowship of church membership, but who hesitate, who feel unworthy, who feel insufficient. We do pray that thou wilt overcome all their hesitancy and give them to see that though they are unworthy, yet thou art worthy. That though they are insufficient, yet thou art sufficient. And give them that strength and that grace and that faith to step forward as the apostle did in that spirit. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So we do pray for a building up here in numbers and in grace, and for a gathering into this church, this congregation from this village. We do pray for those who live around this chapel, for the people that perhaps pass by the doors so frequently. And we do pray that as thy church here seeks to live in accordance with thy word, there might be a holding forth of the word of life, a shining as lights in the midst of a dark world, that others might be drawn, attracted to that gospel that is believed here, that is preached here, and gathered into the bundle of life. We do pray for other churches also, those in this local area, those gathering together this morning. Bless thy word, we pray, in every place, up and down our own land and throughout the earth. And do bless thy word, we pray, to the salvation of many, to the building up of thy church, and to the glory of thy name. Be with us then, we pray, as we turn to thy word. Be with us as we further sing thy praise, and as we come again to thy word, we do pray for thy help, for the guidance, direction, wisdom, understanding that we need, that we might rightly understand thy truth, and that it might feed us and give us to know that growth in grace and in the knowledge of thee. Hear us then, we ask, and receive our thanksgiving. Bless each one, from the youngest to the eldest. Bless the children especially. We pray for thy hand to be upon them as they gather together here week by week. And we think of the work of the Sunday school also, and pray for thy blessing to rest upon that work, upon all those involved in it. Well, there is much, no doubt, that they find difficult to understand, much that they find difficult to hear, many ways in which it is hard for them, hard to sit still even, and to listen. But we do pray that they, and we each, might be given that hearing ear. There is none, Lord, too young for thee to work in. None too young to hear thy voice and to be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. We do pray that there might be those here, young and old, who are brought to become followers of the Lord Jesus. So we do pray that thou will bless the young, bless those growing up into adulthood with all its decisions and difficulties and uncertainties. Those who are seeking that guidance concerning their future pathway. Those standing at crossroads, uncertain about which way to take. Thou art able to guide. Hast thou not promised to guide thy people? Hast thou not promised that thou wilt guide the meek, that thou wilt guide sinners in the way? Do help us to come in those times of uncertainty and to plead those promises. And do overrule and guide and direct in all things. Bless those older in years in the middle of life, perhaps feeling the heaviness of the burdens of life and all those different things which pull upon our time and demand our attention. We do pray that there might be in the midst of all those things that something secret that sweetens all. That even as we find ourselves so pulled about in different directions, we might know that peace of God that passes understanding, to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, and do make our way plain. Remember those older, those feeling the weakness of the body, for whom eternity cannot be far off. Do teach us, each one of us, to number our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom. that we might be made ready for that great change, when we must leave all these things behind us and cross that river. We do pray that in that dread moment we might find shelter in the blood of Christ. And that though we are so unworthy, yet we might know that comfort and that confidence in that everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, that this gospel, this Christ, this Saviour, might be all our salvation and all our desire. Hear us then, we ask. Make up in giving what we forget to ask for. Remember any who feel to have been forgotten. Be with us as we sing thy praise and as we come to thy word. And bless us together, we ask, for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.
Let us sing part of hymn number 447, 447, and we'll omit verse 3. We usually sing this hymn at the Lord's Supper. When you read verse 3, may it create a desire in your heart to eat the flesh and blood of the dear dying Christ, and to want to remember him at the Lord's Supper. And when we sing verse 4, may the Lord say, "Son or daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee." Hymn 447, omitting verse 3. Pity a helpless sinner, Lord, who would believe thy gracious word, but own my heart with shame and grief, a sink of sin and unbelief. 447, omitting verse 3.
Thank you.
let us turn again to the Word of God and seeking your prayers and the help of God to the chapter that we read in the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 8, and reading again verse 42. In the Gospel according to John, reading again in chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, that is to the Pharisees, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." I came across this verse towards the beginning of this last week. I can't remember if it was something I was reading or something I was listening to, but immediately it seemed to me to be the verse that I needed to speak from this morning, and I don't know why. As I've sat with the word and tried to meditate upon the word, it's not come as easily as sometimes it does. But maybe this is a word for somebody particular here this morning. It's a word of challenge, isn't it? It came as a challenge to those Pharisees that Jesus is speaking to here, who were so sure that God was their Father, and yet had no love for the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, well, those two things are incompatible. You can't have God as your Father without having a love for the Lord Jesus. It comes as a challenge, but perhaps it comes as comfort to one here this morning also. Perhaps you come to this word and you say, well, I long to know that God is my Father. I come, perhaps you say, with the desire of the hymn writer, Anne Steele. She said, "My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I, with sweet assurance, claim a portion so divine." Well, if you come this morning asking that question, am I a son, a daughter of God? Well, here is a test. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? These things, says the Lord Jesus, they always go together. If God were your Father, ye would love me. A wonderful thing to be a child of God. You remember how Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, in the second epistle towards the end of chapter 6, you find these words, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Well, the Pharisees thought that they were separate, didn't they? The name Pharisee comes from a Hebrew word which means separate, and that was very much how they saw themselves. As separate from the common people, separate certainly from the publicans and sinners, they would say, well, we're not like those people. We're special, we're different. We are separate people, and yet that separation that they knew was not the separation that Paul is writing about there to the Corinthians. It's not something primarily physical, not something that consists in an outward separation, and certainly not something that involves a feeling of superiority and a looking down upon others. Something spiritual. To be the son of God is, the daughter of God is that privilege that John speaks of at the beginning of this gospel. When he speaks of the Lord Jesus coming into the world, he says he came unto his own and his own received him not. Nothing is more clear than that in this chapter. He comes to his own people to his own countrymen. And yet they receive him not. But John goes on to say, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If God were your father, ye would love me. Who is your father? Who is your father? You might say, well, that's a strange question. You children might think, well, that's a strange question. I know who my father is. I don't mean in that natural sense. I mean in the sense that the Lord Jesus speaks of it here. This is the dispute, isn't it, between Jesus and the Pharisees in this chapter. What is it that they're disagreeing about? Essentially, it boils down to this one point. Who is it that has God as their father? Is it Jesus or is it the Pharisees? Who is your father? Well, as I say, these Pharisees, how sure they were, how certain they were that God was their father. Look at what they say throughout this chapter. Verse 33. We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Verse 39. Abraham is our father. Verse 41. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. These Pharisees were as sure as anyone that God was their father. They were certain that they were right. These Pharisees, they were amongst the most religious people of their day. They were the people that would be at the front of the temple. Do you remember the parable? Look at the picture of the Pharisee and the publican. There in that parable, the Pharisee, it's as if he comes to the front of the temple. He's standing there. Everybody's looking at him. And no doubt many people would have admired him. They would have said, well, look at that man. He's so religious. Look at him fasting twice in the week, giving tithes of all that he possesses. And here is the publican, so different. He can't come near, he stands afar off. He can't pray as the Pharisee prays. But Jesus says at the end of that parable, I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. These Pharisees were so sure that they were right, the very most religious people, the most separate people, the most holy people is how they would have seen themselves. And yet, they're walking in darkness. You see that in the passage here. Look at the scribes and Pharisees in verse 3. Jesus is teaching in the temple, and suddenly there's this woman who's dragged in before him by the scribes and Pharisees. She's been taken in adultery. And the scribes and Pharisees come with their question. Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They don't care about the woman, do they? And they don't care about the Lord Jesus Christ. All they're doing, all they're trying to do here is to make themselves look better. They're so proud. Look at them at the end of the previous chapter. If you read through chapter 7. Chapter 7, they tell the officers to go and arrest the Lord Jesus, don't they? In verse 32 of chapter 7, the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. But the officers come back empty-handed. And when the Pharisees ask them, why have you not brought him? They say, well, never man spake like this man. And look at the pride of the Pharisees in their response. Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. We haven't believed on him, and we know They're so sure, they're so certain. You see the same thing in chapter 9. Here is this man who's had his sight restored, and he's brought before the Pharisees. And look at the words of the Pharisees in verse 29. "We know," they say. "We know." That was very much the spirit of the Pharisees. "We know." And yet, look at what Jesus says to them here in verse 12. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." These Pharisees, though they were so sure that they were walking in light, they were walking in darkness. They're walking in darkness just as much as this woman is. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't he? They come with this woman and they feel so superior to this woman. They say, "We would never do what this woman's done." And yet Jesus says to them, "You know, you're no different to this woman. You're not above her." They must have been very shocking words to the Pharisees, mustn't they? Back there in Matthew's gospel. Look at what Jesus says in chapter 21 of Matthew's gospel. "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You know, this woman, this adulterous woman, this harlot, she's closer to the kingdom of heaven than you Pharisees are. Because she's not self-righteous. They're walking in darkness. They're not concerned about what's right and what's wrong, really. They're not really concerned about the law of Moses, are they? They just want to get one up on the Lord Jesus. They just want to have something to accuse him of. They just want to show themselves superior to him. And yet Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." When John writes his first epistle, he gives us one of the marks of walking in darkness, right there in chapter 1. He says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." But then he says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And again in verse 10, he says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Well, that's where these Pharisees were. They didn't have any consciousness of sin, did they? They didn't think that they had any sins to confess. They're walking in darkness. And Jesus, so often throughout this chapter, he says, "I am." Did you notice? Look through the chapter again. How often the Lord Jesus uses those two little words, "I am." "I am the light of the world. I am one that bear witness of myself. I am from above. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And the Jews understood what he was claiming, didn't they? When he comes right at the end of this chapter to speak of Abraham. "Verily, verily," he says unto them, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." They took up stones to cast at him. Blasphemy is what they're accusing him of. They think they have the right to judge him, to look down on him. And yet, he is the light of the world, the Son of God, come in the flesh. How mistaken they were. And so Jesus comes with these words of challenge. if God were your father, ye would love me. Well, as I say, they do come as a challenge. They come as a challenge to us each. What Jesus is saying here is something that we see so often elsewhere. The new birth. What is one of the great symptoms of the new birth? What is one of the great signs that a person is born again? It's this. They will love the Lord Jesus. They will love him. Do you love him then? These Pharisees didn't love him. Jesus says they were trying to kill him. Verse 37, I know, he says, that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Verse 40, now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. They didn't love him. It's very obvious they come from different fathers, isn't it? You children, I know that you probably don't always get on with your siblings. There are probably times when you don't like them very much. But there is a bond of love, isn't there, between children of the same father, of the same parents? That's what Jesus is saying. Well, he says to them, if God was your father, you would love me because God is my father. If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Well, it's just as true today. If God is your father, you will love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your brother, if God is your father. And yet they hated him. Why did they hate him? Why did they want to get rid of him? Why did they want to kill him? Why did they take up stones to cast at him? Well, the reason is back there in the third chapter. Remember what Jesus says to Nicodemus. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They hated the Lord Jesus because he made them look bad. They hated the Lord Jesus because he comes and he uncovers all their hypocrisy. He uncovers the fact that they are like whited sepulchres. What he says to them is so humbling. Again, think of how it must have sounded to Nicodemus when Jesus said to him, ye must be born again. You can almost feel Nicodemus bridling at this. He says to the Lord Jesus, well, it's all very well going and speaking to the publicans and the sinners like that, but surely you can't talk to us Pharisees like that. How can you say that we need to be born again? He spoke to them as if they were sinners, and they hated them for it. I remember hearing of a woman, maybe I've said this here before, she went to a church in, I think it was in London, this was many years ago, and the church called a new pastor, and after a time she stopped going, and someone said to her, why have you stopped going then? And she said, well, this new man, he preaches to us as if we were sinners. That woman was a Pharisee. The Pharisees, you know, the spirit of the Pharisees didn't die out when the Pharisees died out. It's in us all, isn't it? And perhaps no one is at more danger of falling into the spirit of the Pharisees than people like us. Most of us, many of us, brought up in chapels, in churches, under the sound of the truth. Nothing is more dangerous for us than this spirit of the Pharisee. They hated him because he humbled them. He said to them that They were really in the same situation as the publicans. They were no different. They needed the same salvation. Does that humble you? Does that shock you? If I was to say to you, go out into the middle of some city, find some drunkard who is lying in the gutter, does it humble you to realize that the salvation that that man needs is the same salvation as you need? Does it humble you to realize that that gospel that that man needs? Does it humble you to realize that this woman here taken in adultery, the gospel that she needed is the same gospel as you need? Well, it humbled the Pharisees and they hated him for it. And they said, we must get rid of this man. They took up stones to cast at him. They sent officers to take him. They rejected him. Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? They were so sure of themselves that they said, this man Jesus, he's a Samaritan. He's got a devil. He's a madman. If God were your father, ye would love me. It comes as a challenge. What about you? Salvation leads to love. Nothing is plainer from the New Testament than that. We love him, says John, because he first loved us. The hymn writer in hymn 1066, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. Can you say that? Can you say that honestly? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love the word of God written? Do you love the Bible? Do you love the gospel? Do you love the precepts of the gospel? Do you love the gospel even when it comes and speaks of your sin? Do you love the word of God when it comes and it tells you that you need to be born again? Do you love the word of God when it comes and condemns you? Do you say like the psalmist, search me. Search my heart. I want to be put right. Do you come like the Apostle Paul? Think of that man. Look at the change that we see in Paul in Acts chapter 9. He goes to Damascus hating the Lord Jesus. He comes out of Damascus loving him. He goes to Damascus determined to stamp out all memory of his name, to destroy his followers. And yet, after the visit of Ananias, we read straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And he asks that question, doesn't he? What wilt thou have me to do? All a mark of love. Isn't that true in natural things? When you love someone, you're concerned about doing what they want you to do. If you find two people and they claim to love each other, but each one is saying, well, I don't care about what you want, I'll do what I want. Well, that's a very strange kind of love, isn't it? But Paul asked the Lord Jesus, what wilt thou have me to do? And Jesus told him, and Paul did it. If God were your father, ye would love me. It comes as a challenge. But I wanted also to come to this. There's encouragement here. There's encouragement here. Perhaps you come to a word like this and you have to answer in the same way that Peter answers at the end of this gospel. You remember, right here at the last, in the last chapter of this gospel, Jesus asks Simon Peter that question three times. Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He comes in his gospel this morning, and it's the same question, isn't it? Do you love me? Lovest thou me? And Simon Peter, he has to answer, doesn't he? He's grieved because Jesus has asked him three times, and he can only answer like this: Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Can you say that? Can you answer like that? You know, in so many of the hymns, there is this desire for love, isn't there? Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is cold and faint, yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more. If you come today saying, well, I wish I loved him more, you know, in that desire there is love. Do you come with that other hymn writer? There's a point I long to know, he said. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? It's a certain mark of the new birth. If God were your Father, ye would love me. This new birth, this new seed, this change that is made in a person, it's something that will be seen. One of the marks is this love. It's love that leads to a following. Again, look at what Jesus says in verse 12. It's he that followeth me. Where there is a love, there will be a following. Again, think of your natural love. The things you love are the things you follow, aren't they? If you love money, you'll follow money. If you love fame, you'll follow fame. If you love Christ, you'll follow Christ. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. It's a love that leads to a following. It's a love that comes with faith. Jesus comes with very similar words. In verse 12 here, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And in chapter 12, in verse 46, it's very similar language, isn't it? I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. This loving, this following, this believing, they're all one and the same thing, really. They all come together. If you love, you'll follow. If you love, there's faith there. And there's encouragement. There's encouragement in the words of the Lord Jesus there in chapter 12. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Notice that word. It says whosoever. There's a door of hope opened wide there, isn't there? That's what the hymn writer said. A door of hope is opened wide in Jesus' bleeding hands and side. That door of hope is seen there in that word, whosoever. There's encouragement here. If God were your Father, ye would love me. He's there to be loved. That's the kind of relationship he wants with his people. He doesn't want to be feared. He doesn't want to be shrunk away from. He's there to be loved. There to be loved by sinners. If God were your Father, ye would love me. Well, perhaps. Perhaps you say, well, I long to be a son or a daughter. I would love to know that kind of relationship with God. I would love to be able to speak of him as my heavenly Father. But perhaps you say, well, how can I? Because I'm not sure if I'm born of God. We read those verses in the first chapter. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who believe on his name are those who have been born of God. And perhaps you say, well, I long to come in the way that Jesus speaks of it here. And I long to follow in the way that Jesus speaks of it here. And I long to believe in the way that Jesus speaks of it. But I'm just not sure if I'm born of God. What is faith? What's your definition of faith? What's this following that Jesus speaks of here in verse 12? What is that believing that he speaks of in chapter 12? There's many mistakes made on this point. Do you believe? Do you think that faith is a faith which rests upon a knowledge of your election? Have you made the mistake that many have made? They say, well, I long to come, and I long to believe, and I long to follow, but I'm not sure if I'm born of God. I'm not sure if I'm one of the elect. I'm not sure if I'm one of the chosen people. Faith is not believing that you are a son. Faith is not believing that you are a daughter. Faith is not believing that you are born of God. Faith is following, and faith is fleeing, and faith is flying, and faith is coming, and faith is resting. That's what faith is. Do you remember how the hymn writer came? What did he carry in his hand? We sing the hymn, don't we? We sing the hymn quite often. Nothing in my hand I bring. But I don't know about you, but I find that I am slow to learn the lesson of that hymn and to put that hymn into practice. What does it mean to come with nothing in the hand? It means to come with nothing in the hand. It doesn't mean that you come saying, well, I believe that I'm one of the elect, so bless me. It's not to come saying, I believe that I am born of God, so bless me. Faith is just this. It's coming with nothing. It's coming saying, I don't know those things. I'm not sure of those things. And that's why I fly to this Christ. That's why I rest upon this one that is here, the light of the world. That's why I'm following. Have you come across people who get this the wrong way round? I have. Come across people, they say, well, of course, I would love to believe, but first of all, I must know that I'm one of the elect. I would love to come, but first of all, I must know that I'm chosen. No, you need to turn that on its head. You might say, how can I come unless I know if I'm one of the elect? Turn it round. How can you know that you're one of the elect if you never come? How can you? It's impossible. How can you know that you're safe if you're not saved? How can you be sure of your election if you're not resting on Christ? It's an impossibility. How can you know that God is your Father if you don't love this Christ, if you don't follow this Christ? It's he that followeth me that shall not walk in darkness, says the Lord Jesus. You say, well, I look at this Christ, I read this gospel, I long to come, but I just don't know. You don't need to know. I'll tell you what you need to know. You need to know you're a sinner. You need to know that Christ is a saviour. Do you know those things? What did we sing in that second hymn? Look at it again. Joseph Hart knew what he was writing about. Look at him here in this hymn. He's venturing hard, he says. He's longing to believe God's gracious word. Venturing hard, behold, I come. What does he come with? He doesn't say, I come because I'm a child. He doesn't say, I come because I know that I am one of the elect. He doesn't come saying, I know that I'm born of God. He doesn't know those things. That's his whole problem, isn't it? His whole problem is that he feels helpless, that he feels hopeless, that he feels his heart to be a sink of sin and unbelief. How is he coming? Verse 2, look at what he says in verse 2. Lord, in thy house I read, there's room. Have you read that? Have you realized that? They're wonderful words, aren't they, in that parable? The parable of the wedding feast. The servants are sent out to call the guests, and those who are first called, they don't come. They're too busy. They've got other things that they need doing. And the servants are sent out again into the highways and hedges. Who do they call? The poor, the lame, the halt, the maimed, the blind. And then the servants come back. They say, well, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. What's the message of the gospel this morning? It's just that. Yet there is room. And Joseph Hart has read those words. Lord, in thy house, I read there's room. And venturing hard, you know what that is? This is the fight of faith, isn't it? This is what the fight of faith is. Venturing hard, behold, I come. But can there, tell me, can there be amongst thy children room for me? He doesn't feel like a child. He doesn't feel like he would fit in. He just feels like a sinner. For sinners, Lord, thou camest to bleed, and I am a sinner vile indeed. And so he comes, venturing hard. You say, well, I long to know that God is my Father, but I'm not sure. There is only one way that you will know this. You will only know it by this love, by this following, by this coming. It doesn't work the other way round. If God were your Father, you would love me. And those that come, they often have to look back, don't they? And just as the hymn writer did, they say, I sought the Lord, and afterwards I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It's afterwards. If God were your Father, ye would love me. Be encouraged then by that little word, whosoever. It comes up over and over again. Look out for it as you read through this gospel especially. Look out for those little expressions. Any man, anyone, whosoever. Be encouraged by them. It's not a coincidence that almost the last words of the Bible speak in that way. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. The hymn writer takes up those words, doesn't he? In hymn 996, ye thirsty, poor and needy souls, for you this wondrous river rolls. Though sin and sorrow make you glad, make you sad, yet drink and let your hearts be glad. Drink and forever bless his name, from whom these streams of mercy came. Drink, for the fountain's open still. drink, for he says, whoever will, whoever will. Or you say, I long to be a son. Jesus is the way to God. He proceeded forth and came from God. He didn't come of himself. God sent him. He comes as God's messenger, as God's mouthpiece. The light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. May God grant to us, to you, to those of you that come to this word this morning, and who look at the blessings that are set before you in the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, well, I wish I could have them. I wish I could know them. I wish I could enjoy them. God grant that flying, that following, that fleeing that Jesus speaks of here in the context. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wonderful words, aren't they, of the hymn writer Charles Wesley. Are they wonderful words to you? Do you read words like this and feel a longing for them? Look at what he says in this hymn 1053. Carry on thy new creation. Pure and holy may we be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Mark Seymour is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, who will also, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 329. 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Hymn 329.
We give thee thanks, O Lord, for those exceeding great and precious promises that we have just been singing about. Those promises made to those who have fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus, to those who are leaning on him for repose. We do pray that that might be true of us each, that thou wilt break down all obstacles and all barriers that stand between our souls and thee, and that thou wilt bring us in repentance with nothing in our hands to thee, the light of the world. Shine upon us then, we pray. Bless us through the rest of this thy day. Bless the Sunday school this afternoon, and gather with us here this evening, we pray, and meet with us then. We ask in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen.